Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist, hey. Or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here!
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane.
Idiot!
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Barry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Making a title sequence.
Hello and welcome to episode 70 of Palka, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, and really lately I'm thinking I've pretty much stopped doing anything at all. Anyway, today is the 70th day of summer. Yes, I'm still going with that. And it means that it's the day that the GCRN finally gets back to our new cartoon review podcast, new in quotation marks, for 2021. So, 2021. And next year it's going to be 2022. Yeah, I've been waiting all day to make those jokes, folks. Oh, Lord, I'm so horrible. So, I believe we are ready to get back to the podcast organization without a cool acronym.
I just got in such a funk.
But as of right now, I am 15 and a half seconds or minutes away from passing out. So we're going to get right into it. Perry the Actorpus is our first episode.
Well, Perry, as soon as I send in your photo, you'll be a contestant in the Totally Tools Spokes Animal Contest. What do you say, boy? Ready to be a spokes animal? That's the spirit. And send. Hello? Perry won!
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Stop the Busting Retreat, a one-day seminar to teach us all to use sisterly restraint. And today, we welcome our newest member, Candace Flynn. Candace, this is Anne, Sinisa, and Danielle.
Yeah. Hi.
What we'd like to do now is a little exercise. We'll start with you, Anne. This is a picture of your brother turning your mother's flower bed into a swimming pool. What do you do?
Well, being a non-buster, I'd probably go to the mall and get a mani-pedi.
Good. See how it's done, Candace? Think you can do that?
Huh. Are you kidding? Just try me.
Okay, so you see your brother's making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You?
Well, being a non-buster, I wouldn't bust them for making a sandwich. But I'd bust them for making a sandwich when it's 5:30 in the afternoon and we'll all be having supper in a half hour. They'll ruin their appetites. They're so busted!
Okay, who here can tell me where Candace's approach could use a little improving? Candace, put your hand down.
The executive of Totally Tools oversees a contest to find the company's spokes animal. Love it. Spokes animal. And Perry is crowned the winner after like a half of a second. However, the victory puts Perry's secret identity in jeopardy, forcing Major Monogram to appoint Agent S as a temporary replacement. But when Dr. Doofenshmirtz sees his new nemesis's Sergei the Snail, he mistakenly underestimates his new opponent. Meanwhile, Candace has been welcomed into Mandy's Stop the Busting Retreat, which aims to teach Candace to control the urge to bust her brothers. Through positive reinforcement. Yay!
It was a positively bad idea.
I'm actually surprised Mandy showed back up again, because she is Thaddeus and Thor's sister. I thought she and Candace were nemesi. Nemesi, nemesises, nemes, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
I don't see why they would be.
I don't know. Are they? Well, they were back in the Thaddeus and Thor episode. She's because they were competing against each other to figure out whose brothers were the best. And then Phineas Ferb's 14-story fort basically broke Thaddeus and Thor's brains. That was a long time ago, folks, and I can't believe I can remember that. But yes, that was a very long time ago.
I actually forgot that she was a recurring character.
Mm-hmm. Voiced by, and I'm probably going to get her name wrong, I'm sorry, Aliki Thelophilus.
She's
Mandy,
the screenwriter, not screenwriter. She writes and she does storyboards.
Yep.
We talked to her once.
Yep, we did.
That might have been like 10 years ago. She won't remember us.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like 10 years ago. Something like that. Literally, it was like right before or right after we did the original Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension episode for Geekcast Radio. So it was a while ago.
This episode had a lot of cool voice actor cameos, but we can get into that later.
Yes. What did you like your yes we do moments for this one?
There was quite a few actually. Starting with this whole spokes animal angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no sooner than they mention spokes animal, but they get a call that he's the spokes animal.
Yeah, that's why I said. You know,
there were no other contestants. There was nobody else in the running for this. It's just him.
Yep.
That seems odd. Yeah, I was riding my bike once, and I got a spokes animal.
Uh huh.
Oops.
Oops. Yeah, you're not supposed to run over the spokes animal.
Well, that's how he became a spokes animal. Because
I know.
Because he ended up in your,
yeah, I got it.
If I have to explain the joke, it's not funny.
Then why did you explain it? I said I got it. I laughed. It's funny.
Stop
the bus. I'm ready to pass out over here, but yikes. I mean, I'm not that far gone.
I will awaken you with my hilariosity. Spokes animals. So Mandy has a Stop the Busting retreat. How does one start a Stop the Busting retreat? How does this happen? Does she too have a problem with busting her brothers?
Yeah.
Recurring issue amongst older sisters?
Yeah.
All right. I wouldn't know. Is Totally Tools a company that has been shown before, or is this the first episode?
I think this is the first episode, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. It just seems odd. There's like this building downtown with a giant phallus.
Yeah.
Giant phallus wrench building. Who does this? It just seems kind of... Oh, wait. It's like, who does this? But apparently, Tom Totally does this.
He's, yes, Tom Totally.
Totally Tools, which is funny because that's his actual name. Speaking of guest appearances, Dietrich Bader.
Yeah, Dietrich Bader.
Had a tiny, tiny line as Tom Totally.
Yep.
And I almost didn't catch it, but I was like, oh my God, that's Dietrich Bader. He did a fantastic job as Batman in the Harley Quinn series.
Yeah.
Season 2.
And a mediocre version in the Brave and the Bold.
Oh, did he?
I didn't watch
Brave and the Bold, no.
Okay, Batman, the Brave and the Bold is Diedrich Bader as Bruce Wayne Batman.
Right.
And, you know, you have Aquaman and Outrageous and everything else. I remember as soon as I saw his name next to Batman, I'm like, You gotta be kidding me. Like, really? Seriously? What the furb is this? Oswald from the Drew Carey Show.
Exactly.
Oswald from the Drew Carey Show is the voice of Batman. That was my first reaction to it a number of years ago when that show for I've gone back and it's okay. That's not my age of Batman, but it's cool.
Yeah.
It's a decent show.
You know, honestly, my first thought was, hey, that's not Kevin Conroy. but he's good. He's really good as Batman.
Yeah,
I was really impressed. Yeah. I know what we're going to do today. We're going to put a hat on Perry.
Yep.
And then you get the Perry hat montage.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought, you know, was cool. Up until you get Agent P and then it's like, uh-oh.
Whoops.
Yeah, nothing says Totally Tools like a platypus in a fedora.
Yep.
Especially if one's hanging from a blimp.
Absolutely, yeah. You always got to have a platypus wearing fedora hats hanging from blimps, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Totally Tools... I didn't get it either.
Mm. You know what casting I missed, and I have to go back in the audio, and I probably already have here, but the positive reinforcement machine?
Yeah.
Okay, this is quite a jump from group affirmations. How is this contraption supposed to help me resist the urge to bust my brothers?
It's a positive reinforcement machine. When you ignore your busting impulses, you get a reward. Let's try it out. You go out in your backyard and find that your brothers have built a rocket ship. What do you do?
Well, I'm just gonna have... I ignore it?
Oh, who's the good girl? You are the good girl. Yes, you are.
George Takei. George Takei. And I'm like, wait. How did I miss
Sulu? George Takei, exactly.
Yeah, how did I miss Sulu? Because I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. He also voices another character, not in this show, but in another show I absolutely love. Superhero Squad show from a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
it's on Disney. It. Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. He was Galactus in that.
Yes.
It was so hilarious. Of course, anything George Takei does is hilarious, so.
Well, you know, he's got a voice that if you hear more than a few words, you're like, that's George Takei.
Hey, all you got to hear is one line.
Oh my. But I didn't get it this time. I had several lines.
Yep.
Didn't catch it.
I didn't catch it either. So hopefully at some point in my really unqualified editing skills, I'll throw some positive reinforcement machine lines in this podcast somewhere.
Yeah. Remind me of what I missed.
Exactly.
Let's Take Half a Day Together.
Mm-hmm.
As the song. That's a good song.
It might be the... Oh, I don't know, because I haven't listened to our first two seasons of podcasts at this point, but it might be the only song I'll say right now as of this recording in the entire series that I do not like.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm wondering who sings this song, because I thought it was good. And it didn't sound like one of their regular voice... singers, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to say in the wiki.
It should. I don't know why. It should.
Where does it say it?
Yeah, we're looking. I don't know, but anyway.
Staring at the wiki for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Sergey the snail.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can stop him except salt. That line, consider yourself exalted. Assaulted.
You said exalted. No, it's consider yourself assaulted.
Assaulted?
It's assaulted. Like, assault on free assaulted? Yes. It's assault. Like, you're going to commit deadly assault on somebody.
With actual salt. He's a dynamite snail. That reminds me of the Avengers. He's like, we've got a Hulk. The snail grabs him by the foot, slams him back and forth a couple times, screams at him, slams him back and forth a couple more times.
You know the only thing missing from this episode? Huh. If the snail could talk. Puny pharmacist.
Puny pharmacist. Oh, man. Oh, criminy, you said that, and now I'm trying to remember the name. I want to say Cacciatore. The name of the guy who does the Hulk voice now. Who does all the Hulk voices?
Fred Tatasciore,
yeah. You see, now Cacciatore is very close.
Cacciatore is not close to Fred
Tatasciore.
Tatasciore? No, it's Tatasciore. Yeah, I don't know. So guess he's what? Guess who does sing that song, Let's Spend Half a Day?
Fred Tatasciore?
No. I'm going to knock you out.
who sings
like,
that
Like, seriously? Song? Really?
Tell me. You just spent the last 5 minutes looking it up. Tell me.
Kate Pearson.
Who's that?
For those that don't know who Kate Pearson is.
Like me?
She was in the B-52s.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope.
Wow. How could you not like that song? It's got Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
I am gonna so assault you later.
Curse you, Kate Pearson from the B-52s. Actually, no, it's funny. Curse you, Perry the Mustachio Tool Spokespuss.
I know.
That was funny.
That was so hilarious.
I did. You know, I laughed so hard in this one. I really enjoyed it. And the final voice cameo was Richard Kind.
Yeah.
Brilliant. He was the Totally Tools marketing guy.
Yeah.
And you know, what's funny is at first I thought it was Dom DeLuise.
Oh, no. No.
Well, I got that Dom DeLuise vibe, and I'm like, isn't he dead?
Yeah. Yeah, but no. First of all, they sound nothing alike.
Okay, welcome to Totally Tools. Now, where is that contest-winning platypus of yours? Oh, will you look at him? Oh, and he sits up, too. Who says they don't do much? Brilliant!
Wait till you hear this. This guy is drowning, you know. He's having a very hard time in the ocean. So a boat comes by and says, are you all right? The guy says, it's okay. I have faith in God. Move on. The boat goes away. Just then a helicopter comes by, and they all come down, and they look at him, and they say, are you all right? Do you need any help? The man looks at them and says, it's okay. I have faith in God. Move on. The man drowns. He goes to heaven. He goes up to heaven, and he looks at God and says, I prayed and prayed. What happened? God says, I sent a boat and a helicopter. I sent a boat and a... Hello? Hello? Operator. Operator. I've been disconnected.
Yes, I've been in New York for 6 weeks, and New York is really exciting because they took a lot of people that were sitting around, and they just put a rope and they got right, and they said, now try to live together, you know? It's really just hot times. You just, give me a hot dog. All right. Oh, hello, Mom. How are you? It's good to see you. Oh, there's my cousin. It's all just so exciting. It's just, you know, hello, I haven't. You go to the opera, and you meet somebody, and they go, hi, I haven't seen you. Remember me? I went to high school. Yes, yes. Oh, how terrific. Hello, Nureyev. Oh, it's so good to see you, Nureyev. You know, and then people are begging on the streets. A man is just laying on the street. People are saying, just step over that. Don't worry. Don't get you good. I never saw a street like me. It was a wonderful, wonderful taxi. It's mine, an old lady said.
You say, I'll kill you.
It's mine. Yes, yes, it's my... Oh, hello, Dom. I'm very late. Ring in the car. It's just, you know... And then no matter where you go, there's a hand. There's a hand out there, and it just says, tip, please. Please tip me, whoever you are. I just want to tip, you know what I mean?
It doesn't do anything.
Oh, and the waiter comes. You know how the waiter goes? You go to a restaurant. That's the silverware, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just, and you just go, can we have a salad menu? What menu? Here, have this. You know how they are? And they just... You
know. Oh, come on.
Dom no.
I got a Dom DeLuise vibe.
Well, your vibes are completely off because they sound nothing alike. I know Richard Kind's voice, like the back of my, inside of my defunctioned brain, because Richard Kind was... Mm. Mark on Mad About You. He was Fran's husband.
Yes.
Fran was Jamie's best friend. He was also the mayor in Gotham. I could not wait until he died on the series Gotham.
I never watched Gotham.
It's okay. You're not missing anything.
All right, good.
But the point is where I mainly know him from, and he's done other things as well. But
he's
basically,
done so much. As
Mark in Mad About You, because I just remember his voice from that, and I'm like, oh my God, what is Mark doing? Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, I figured it out quick after I heard it a little bit more because he had a lot of lines, but he's got a very distinctive voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's just always so upbeat.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I hate to see him like play a role where he had to be depressed.
You know? Yeah, that would not be good.
It wouldn't sound the same.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Ah, yeah.
All right, Perry the Actor Puss, anything you didn't like about this one?
No, actually, I liked everything. I was going to make like a mustache comment, but I can't. Because, you know, it wasn't anything I didn't like.
So what are you going to give it, a 4, 5, 7?
I was going to give it a 4 out of 5 for awesome guest appearances.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 as well. I only take 1 point off for the song. I mean, she ain't singing Love Shack or anything. It's just the wrong key, man. Just the wrong key.
Maybe. I don't know.
I liked it.
All right, we are going to be moving on to Bullseye.
Hey, Mom, what you doing?
Hey, boys. I'm just working on my junk sculpture for the modern installation by Mom's charity auction.
Cool. Seen Dad?
Oh, he headed out for that speaking engagement of his.
Aw. We're going to shoot darts, and we thought he might want to play around.
Maybe next time.
What a racket. Those guys are so busted. I can't believe Mom isn't hearing this.
Wow. I've really got a knack for this modern art stuff. I need to go get more materials.
So, mid-crime, huh? They'll be back.
Hey, Phineas. What you doing?
Oh, hey, Isabella. We're playing giant darts.
I bet you'll get a bullseye.
Sure. Maybe not on the first try. It's all about little adjustments. And Buford and Baljeet are manning the target across town.
Tell me again how you are helping.
I'm supervising.
All right, here we go. Elevation, 33 degrees. 3, 2, 1.
Have fun.
Hi, Isabella.
Hi, Mrs. Funfletcher.
With our current velocity and wind resistance, we should be nearing the target in no time. Whoops, better retract the launch mechanism.
Let's see, where to? Ah, yes, 9019 Palindrome Road. Whoops, dropped my address. Well, 6106 Palindrome Road, here I come.
Phineas and Ferb at 10 o'clock!
When Lawrence heads out to attend a speaking engagement on antiques, he unwittingly finds himself participating in the Love Muffin Pageant of Evil against Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Rodney. As a special host oversees the proceedings, Perry is tasked with monitoring the situation, but Lawrence gets hit with Rodney's Make Everything Evilizer. And it is crowned the supreme leader of Love Muffin, and there are no terms. So basically, Lawrence Fletcher is the Donald Trump of Phineas and Ferb. Not really. Lawrence is much better.
What? What? And,
well, because there are no terms in Love Muffin. He can be the supreme ruler forever. We all know that Idiot Orange wants to do the same thing.
But we can impose term limits because we're evil.
Well, true. Meanwhile, Candace is determined to bust the boys, but doesn't realize that they are not helping with Mom's modern art installation. Across town, the boys are playing a giant game of darts. Oh, boy.
Across town.
Across town.
Across the town. Yes.
Yes. This one has a really, really, really good song. Evil Tonight is awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Emmy of evil pharmacists.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah.
It's got a dance number. It's mm-hmm. gonna, you know, we've seen like dance numbers with Doof where he brings out like the cabaret, you mm-hmm. know, and there's several layers of dancing girls. But this is all dancing pharmacists.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea there were so many evil pharmacists. And it's like they had, I'm assuming whoever did the storyboards for this had to work overtime to design each and every one of them because they're all a little different and, you know, arguably some of them are cute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and the return of Love Muffin.
Yeah, that's right.
It seems like just a week ago that I was asking you what Love Muffin stands for.
They say it in the song, so it'll be in the audio, probably right here.
Good morning, Agent P. Our sources tell us that the members of Love Muffin, the League of Villainous Evildoers maniacally united for frightening investments in naughtiness, are about to gather to elect their new leader, but we don't know where or how. See if you can gain access, and we'll survey the situation remotely through your wrist communicator.
Well, this is the place. Yes, I'm supposed to be on stage.
We're about to get started. Go, go, go!
If you want to see evil tonight at its best, we're the cruelest of people, put us to the test. If you're looking for heinous and iniquitous acts, ethics cannot contain us, sit back and relax.
One of these cats will be our villainous star.
So without further ado, here they are.
I'm Rodney, and I'm from the great state of South Dakota, home of beautiful Mount Rushmore. For now.
I'm Dr. Heinz Doofenshmirtz, and I like unicorns and rainbow. Wait, we'll switch my...
I'm Dr. Diminutive, and I don't have a Napoleon complex. Napoleon had a me complex. Don't cross me!
Of course, the Love Muffin bylaws, which govern us all, say to enter this pageant, you must be this tall, so disqualified.
You can't do that!
Yes, we can!
Why?
'Cause we're evil.
Excuse me, is this the way to the stage?
It looks like we have a late entry.
Of course, now I have to actually put it in the audio right there.
I'll just go out and say it. It's the League of Villainous Evildoers maniacally united for frightening investments in naughtiness.
It's way too long.
It is way too long. And naughtiness? Really? I mean, you know, naughty is like making out with your girlfriend, you know, behind the shed. That you know, it's not exactly evil.
Yeah, no, not really. So we have the standard cast, and I don't mean to, you know, throw all of them under the bus, because Vincent Martella, Ashley Tisdale, Thomas Sangster, Carolyn Ray, Dan Povetmire, Jeff Swampy Marsh, and Ritz O'Brien are all great, along with Dee Bradley Baker. Oh. Dee Bradley Baker, actually, and I'm sure he does other additional voices at some point or another as well. Not only in this episode is he playing Perry, he is Dr. Diminutive.
It's just the worst character ever.
Napoleon had a him complex.
It just makes no sense.
I know. The guest star here is someone I absolutely love. It's someone we all should have grown up watching at least Hollywood Squares 2 or something. It is Mr. Tom Bergeron as the Love Muffin Pageant of Evil host.
Oh, you're kidding. He was the
Mr. Dancing with the Stars himself is the voice of the evil pageant host.
I did not place that, but now that you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, okay. I'll buy that, sure.
Yep, absolutely.
Welcome to the first annual Love Muffin Pageant of Evil, where these three gentlemen will vie for the chance to tell you what's what.
I thought I was already confirmed, prepared my speech and everything.
In addition to gaining total control of the Iron Hand of Love Muffin, our contestants will each receive a commemorative flashlight.
Agent P, it has come to our attention that Lawrence Fletcher from your host family has somehow entered the Love Muffin Supreme Ruler Pageant. Of course, considering his genial nature, a win for him would really stretch my suspension of disbelief. But just in case, you better sit tight and just observe.
Remember, points will be awarded by the audience, so get out your voting boxes. Our first evil event, the Mechanical Mother. Show us how you treat the old lady, Larry.
Wish me luck, boys. Hello, old dear. So lovely to see you. I brought you some peonies.
Oh, such a nice boy.
I didn't think anyone could be more incompetent at being evil than you.
Me neither.
And now he's serving her tea without a trace of irony.
Remember to keep that foot elevated. What a lovely old girl.
Prepare yourself for a stunning display of filial beastliness.
Yeah, knock yourself out, Rodney.
Hello, Mother. I brought you something special.
For me? You're such a good...
Dirty laundry. And there go the waterworks.
Yeah, that's how it's done, boys.
Oh, my baby still needs me.
Oh, no. Tears of joy. 0 points for that move.
Oh, you monster. Watch and learn, Rodney. I am getting married again.
Audience, get your votes in, please.
So what did you like about this one, besides everything?
Besides everything. Well, you know, Mom's a welder now.
Yeah, apparently. She went to welding class over the summer.
I'm like, this makes no sense. This is just off the rails already. But we did get to spend some quality time with Lawrence.
Yeah,
that was fun. You know.
Until he got hit by the Evilizer.
Well, no, even before he gets hit by the Evilizer, he's on his way to Palindrome Road. Which is the same backwards as it is forwards.
Let's see, where to? Ah, yes, 9019 Palindrome Road. Whoops, dropped my address. Well, 6106 Palindrome Road. Here I come.
9109, 6106.
Exactly. Well, It's the same thing upside down. It just made me giggle that they called it Palindrome Road. I mean, this is like clever highbrow humor here.
It's the second time they've used palindrome in this season.
Really? You reading that wiki again? What was the first time?
No. First time was a couple podcasts ago when we did My Fair Goalie, because Professor Ross Eforb is a palindrome.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, Ross, trust me, Eforb. I don't have to. When it comes to palindrome in this show, I do not have to look at the wiki to make sure I'm right.
I do like palindromes. You know, I thought was funny is the giant dart that they made and they fly, questionably. They fly it to the dartboard, but it has to walk back.
Yeah, it has to use the hand thing to walk. Yeah, that makes no sense.
It's just the worst dart ever. Why can't it launch itself back?
Because there's no dartboard in the backyard currently in this episode. The dartboard is actually across town, so they didn't build
a giant lawn dart.
That's true, but then you have a whole bunch of holes in the lawn, and Lawrence and Linda probably wouldn't like that. I don't know. Hell, Lawrence probably wouldn't even pay attention, but Linda would probably be like, my flowers.
No, she would. Was that Dr. Girlfriend?
I don't know.
No, she wouldn't even notice, because as soon as she came outside, whatever. You know, whatever issue there is with the lawn would disappear automatically.
The issue, the
mysterious
dart,
force.
The dart. Leave the mysterious force out of this. The dart itself might go away, but would the holes in the lawn go away from shooting the dart? Anyway,
I don't know.
What is strange to me with this, and I don't know how, I'm not a television executive, I don't know how these things work. According to the wiki, because I am looking at the wiki, I just have the page open, I'm not like searching for anything. The Disney Channel US premiere of this episode was September 30th, 2011. The Disney XD US television premiere was October 3rd, 2012. A year apart in airing this one episode.
Really?
On two different networks. That's strange to me.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Weird.
Yep, very weird. What else you got?
Meat. What possible functionality could that have? She's like, there's like meat hanging off of this art display. It just made me giggle. I can't even speak. Yeah, Lawrence is the king of the pharmacists. I just thought it was funny. He's got evil glare.
Yeah, the greatest thing about Lawrence as king of the pharmacists, today Danville, tomorrow the world. At least Lawrence could pull it off.
Oh, he's quoting Hitler.
Well, yes, I know, but comparative to anyone in Love Muffin, let alone Dr. Doofenshmirtz himself, if Lawrence was this evil all the time, Lawrence would so totally take over Danville in less than a day, and then he'd have the world eating out of his hand by the end of the week.
I would within a couple of days, he would have figured out Phineas and Ferb were building things in the backyard and manipulated them into building something that would help him take over the world. Within a week.
Yep.
I liked this one a lot. I was going to give it a 4 out of 5 for Love Muffin goodness.
I'm just going to give it a straight 5. There wasn't really anything I didn't like about it. I thought it was super fun using Lawrence to be the evil overlord of Love Muffin. That was cool. Even though Phineas and Ferb aren't really doing anything, I mean, they're not really doing anything, and it's more mom doing stuff.
Yeah.
I like that because it's playing with the format. They're still doing something, but they're doing a whole misdirect with Candace trying to bust mom versus trying to bust her brothers.
She spends the whole episode in the backyard.
Yeah. Oh, the front yard. You can't fool me. I'm not going out there. I don't care what I hear. I'm like, oh, Candace, just go out to the front yard already.
You can't put a bell on him yet. It's surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else for this one?
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Oh, you know what? I would mention, looking at the wiki here, Aliki did guest voices on this one, too.
Oh, who did she voice? I completely missed that.
It just says additional voices. Jen Hale did additional voices, too. The guy who plays Rodney did some additional voices, yeah, and then a couple others.
Cool.
But, so she was probably one of those cute scientists.
Probably. All right, folks. Even though it is by the time this airs, probably either the middle or end of January or beginning of February, depending on when I release this podcast episode, we're having Halloween in the new year because the final two cartoons, this is so horrible, are Halloween or vampire movie based. That's right. Up next is That's the Spirit and the Curse of Candace. First up, That's the Spirit.
Mom! Phineas and Gurr were making a Halloween special!
Trick or treat!
Well, now, would you look at this, Martha? We've got Frankenstein, Count Dracula, and some kind of Igor or something. And if it isn't little Candace Flynn, where's your costume?
Where's your costume? I haven't worn my hair like this in 2 years.
Get with the Halloween spirit, Candace.
Please. Trick-or-treating is for kids. I'm, like, way more mature than that. I'm walking with you until we get to Jeremy's, and then I am out of here.
There they are. I thought we'd never catch up. Going old school this year, I see. Sweet. No costume, huh, Candace? Nice fairy princess costume. Where'd you get it?
Actually, I'm not wearing a costume.
Oh, okay.
I got it at the Googleplex Mall.
What kind of person hands out these weird orange peanuts? We gotta find a better neighborhood.
That's strange. I've never seen this place before. You'd think we would have noticed it.
It's Halloween night, and the kids encounter a boy named Russell, who is convinced his house is haunted. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz's disdain for grass causes him to invent a mind transferinator, enabling him to merge minds with a cow and destroy all the grass in the tri-state. What the hell, Doofenshmirtz?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, his plan backfires and he transforms into a scary were-cow that wreaks havoc anytime there is a full moon. It's now up to Agent P to stop him and save Danville. This episode is utterly bonkers.
It's really weird. And especially now we've got a Halloween episode in the middle of January.
Well, if I could have got my computer out of storage back in October of the year that was 2020, we wouldn't, whatever. But, what are we going to do? Put the podcast on hiatus? Oh, okay, fine.
Till October.
All right. Yeah.
After summer.
I'll just release episode 69 at the end of January or beginning of February and then hold off on this until next October.
There you go. You know what? It's okay because every day is Halloween when you're goth like me.
Oh, boy. Okay, Edward.
Halloween episode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there's trick-or-treating, and there's even a cameo by the it's not so much a cameo, it's a more of an homage to the Halloween soundtrack. Mm-hmm. The little bit of piano. It's John Carpenter playing piano.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Kind of an homage to John Carpenter, if you think about it that way.
Ooh, interesting.
What?
All right, well, we're just going to jump into it now. Guest cast for this? I do not believe this. We've talked to one of them. Jack-O-Lantern. The voice of Jack-O-Lantern was done by Tom Kenny.
Aren't you a little young to be hunting ghosts?
Yes! Yes, we are!
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And the other two, I'm sure whoever voiced Russell, the little boy, Dylan Douglas. Oh, it's probably the main guest star's son, most likely. Michael Douglas was the voice of Waylon.
Yeah. So I knew that.
And then April Winchell was the voice of Mona and Brigitte and Oshami? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, but April.
Oshami?
Whatever. I don't know.
Is April Winchell again?
Yes, April Winchell. She's a comedian. She's the daughter of Paul Winchell. Let's see. Brigitte. She's the Fireside Girl.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
She will eventually, once we get to it, voice Princess Leia in Phineas and Ferb Star Wars.
Oh.
But she's a comedian. Like I said, she's done a bunch of stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Actually, I got all excited because you were like, listen to this guest cast. And,
well, I mean, Michael
Douglas. I was thinking of the next episode, which is like chock full of guest cast.
Oh, yes. No. Oops. Yes, the next episode hold off is on also.
That one.
Yeah, absolutely. Hold off on that one.
Yeah, hold off on that. But Michael Douglas, hey, that's kind of cool, you know. And I was wondering why Russell sounds like a Peanuts character. and the answer is probably because Dylan Douglas is, you know, like 7 or something. It's like, a studio full of little kids trying to sing.
Yep.
Now I'm trying to remember who directed the Peanuts episodes.
That would be Bill Melendez.
Melendez, there it is. And he was talking about the problems of having a studio full of kids.
Yep.
I mean, not to get too far off topic. I dig the decorations.
The decorations are awesome.
Well, at the Perry's HQ.
Yep.
It's all these ghosts hanging from the ceiling. It's like, there's a lot of them. You wonder who hung all those ghosts up.
It's probably Carl. He does everything in the
HQ.
Yeah.
You got to pay him for that. Aren't you a little young to be hunting ghosts? Yes,
we are.
They didn't go with busting ghosts. There was a lot of Ghostbusters kind of paraphernalia here. You know, I mean,
between the PKA meters and Phineas says, "Let's bust us some ghosts." I think that was enough.
It was enough for like a cease and desist order. good times. This is funny because I actually typed Doof is a werecow. And I thought I was being really clever calling him a werecow. And then it's like right there, plot description. So now I feel dumb. But the funny thing is that he's a transgender werecow. Because he's got udders.
Yeah, I should not have been eating dinner when I watched this episode. That first transformation when his utter gut pops out, it's like, whoa, what the hell, dude?
Oh, you know, at that point, I'm like, he's not a bull. It's kind of strange that would happen. But at least he's the natural predator of grass.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. The cow is the natural predator of grass. It's funny. What else is funny? Angry mobs that follow traffic laws. They stop for red lights just long enough for the werecow to escape. Even through flour.
Yeah, that's not
so now good. They're a ghost mob.
Yeah, ghost mob.
I thought this might have been a little insensitive because the mob was performing in whiteface.
Oh, no.
It was just their face. It was like everything. Fine.
I mean, you know, it could be worse. You could turn to white dust. Oh, wait, that's next episode.
I'm sorry. That's funny. Okay, so they all go in the haunted house. The giant basement's a holodeck. The creepy mansion's inflatable. I expected M. Night Shyamalan to pop out and go, twist!
Yeah. Thank God he didn't.
But he did. There was no M. Night Shyamalan cameo. The final trick was a werecow being chased by an angry ghost mob right through the middle of the living room there. Twist.
There's no twist, dude.
Twist. I don't know.
You know what? You need to stop drinking that tea. You need to stop drinking that tea.
You know what's funny? I've seen the memes. I don't know where they're from. I don't understand the basis of this meme. And I get it. Twisted Tea is supposedly badass, but I don't know why. Have you seen why?
No, and I have no.
You're perpetuating the meme here, but you don't understand where it came from.
First of all, it's called a meme, not a meme.
It's pronounced meme for memnotic, which is memory. Mm-hmm. It's a meme because you remember it.
Yes, but everybody else calls it memes.
They're wrong.
Okay, you know, tomato.
Tomato. So I would give this a 4 out of 5 for Halloween and weird twist at the end. Twist.
Okay, just because you say twist does not mean it's going to be a twist. What are you giving this again?
You're reading the wiki, aren't you? You're not listening.
No, I'm not.
You never listen to me.
I was looking up twisted mams.
Fine. I give it a twisted mams. What?
Just what do you give of the episode?
D. Schneider makes an appearance, everybody. 4 out of 5 for Halloween and weird twists at the end.
Yes.
We're not going to take it.
We
ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm. There ain't no sisters here. I am also going to give it a 4. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. My favorite part was even though I'm not a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas at all, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
I love Tom Kenny as the giant pumpkin head monster, and I love the way he voiced that character. I thought that was awesome.
It was cool. So, wait a minute. So Tom Kenny did the voice of the jack-o'-lantern, but yeah. Michael Douglas? I thought Michael Douglas was the jack-o'-lantern.
Mm-mm. No? Well, unless the wiki's wrong.
Hey, I'll take Tom Kenny. I dig Tom Kenny. He did a good job. I really enjoy that character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't fly away from us, Jared. Ha! Now you're trapped.
He's bent the gate!
His vampire strength won't save him this time.
Wow, super vampire strength.
And he's super cute.
Shh! Oh, look, he has no reflection in that mirror.
I can't see my hair!
Oh, look, Stacy, he's cornered. Now he's really stuck.
Speaking of stuck, what's up with this floor?
Jared, Michael, don't do this!
It's the end of the line, Jared.
I expect this from your kind, Michael. Football players, I mean. But Kristen, we were both moody outcasts. We loved each other.
Yes. Yes, we did.
We did. And wait a minute, wasn't he just wearing a shirt?
You'll no longer drink the blood of those you love.
Wait, those dreams were a gift from my... The hideous light of the day star!
Where did that wind come from?
Oops, sorry. I opened the window. It was getting stuffy in here.
All right, finally up today, we've got The Curse of Candace. Is it possible? Am I a vampire? Candace is bitten by a bat after watching a popular vampire movie with Stacy and worries that she is becoming a vampire. Phineas and Ferb's latest gadgets lead Candace to believe that she has indeed made the change from teenager to teen vampire. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz plans to change the tri-state area into a carbon copy of Gimmelstump so that he will be easier to take over. Oh my god. I did not need the Twilight.
I don't like Twilight. I'm not a fan of Twilight. I can take the occasional like Vampire Diaries, mm-hmm. Vampire Teen Angst. It's okay. But this had me thinking of True Blood, which is not for teens, not for kids, right?
Yep.
Primarily because Anna Paquin, criminy, what was her name in True Blood? Sookie Stackhouse, and Stephen Moyer, both make appearances. A short appearance. I mean, you know, I didn't recognize Stephen Moyer's voice actually, and I probably wouldn't have recognized Anna Paquin if I hadn't have been in the wiki. But the fact that they were both here, you know, from True Blood, where you have real vampire actor plays vampire on fake movie that Candace and Stacey are watching, right?
For me, it would have been better if it was Michael J. Fox versus David Boreanaz.
Oh, I'd buy that. Because but then it wouldn't make any sense to have Anna Paquin there.
Well, no, you'd have to put Sarah Michelle Gellar instead. You know, Buffy, sure, Angel, all that, whatever. And then obviously Michael J. Fox is the voice of Michael.
Michael the Werewolf.
Yeah, Michael the Werewolf, and obviously that's, you know, Teen Wolf.
Did you? Oh, you know what? Honestly, I didn't make that connection. Thank you. I didn't. That's weird. I usually catch these things. It wouldn't go over my head. I would catch it. But I felt like Michael J. Fox kind of phoned this in a little bit. You know. You hear it. You hear his voice, and all you see is Marty McFly at that point. You know. But it wasn't, like I said, I just don't feel like he stylized it enough.
Because he was the wolf first and then he talked, I was like, oh, they're going for Michael J. Fox, Scott Stiles, you know, they're going for Teen Wolf. I get it. Yeah. I think it would have been much better if he was in a different, I mean, I'm fine with this episode. I think that's cool as hell. But if the series had done one of their future or past episodes and had him in there somewhere because of Hello, Back to the Future.
Right.
But I was okay with this. I thought this was kind of funny and cool. Because it's not often. I mean, everybody references Back to the Future all the time. Everybody wants Michael J. Fox to do Back to the Future. How many cartoons can you say actually reference Teen Wolf besides Teen Wolf, the animated series itself?
There was an animated series?
I'm pretty sure, unless my memory is really fucked up right now.
A scrape in the bottom of the barrel. I mean, as far as content goes, really.
Beware, Scott. Ow! When the moon is full. Oh, no. Not again.
It's a hairy situation.
I'll die if anyone sees me like this.
Hey, man, say, don't be shy if it happens to you.
Hi, Grandpa.
Good morning, Scotty.
It's fun being different if you have a healthy attitude.
Only my friends Booth and Stiles know my hairy secret.
I'm feeling hairy, and my teeth are mean. I got a weird complexion, and I want to scream. Teen Wolf coming out to play.
Teen Wolf.
You know, I do know that like MTV or somebody went back and made a Teen Wolf TV series, and I'm sure somebody enjoyed that.
Grandma, what's that book? Oh, it's our family photo album.
I haven't seen that album for years. Where'd you find it?
I just dug it up.
Gee, these pictures are so dark.
That's because they were taken by torchlight.
Hey, who are those hairy, ugly creatures?
Your roots, dear. That is your great-uncle Seymour.
You take after him, Scott.
Wow, how gross.
You just keep eating your herbs and potions, and you'll have fur just like Uncle Seymour.
Aren't there pictures in our family album of anybody who's not so hairy?
Well...
I can't say that I did. I never saw it, but... The fact that it happened, I'm aware of it.
Yep. And I think I'm shit up at this point.
Yeah, sadly. Anyway.
I wish I wasn't, but damn it. Because the sad thing is, Jason Bateman took over in Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever seen Teen Wolf 2. Jason Bateman, actually, and I didn't like him for a long time because I kind of felt like he was the poor man's Michael J. Fox. But, that last series he was in, Criminy, The Ozark. Wow, that was good.
I was right.
What? About what? Tell me.
The Cartoon Adventures of Teen Wolf. I was right.
That's awful. I'm not
making this stuff up. Had two seasons from 86 to 87.
Who voiced the Teen Wolf? Was it Michael J. Fox? Phone it in?
Sadly, Michael is not listed anywhere on this. However, Townsend Coleman voiced Scott Howard.
We can't talk bad about our favorite Ninja Turtle.
Absolutely not. Stacy Keach Sr. was Grandpa Howard, and track this thing down. Frank Welker was Valor, Daisy, Mayor Marconi. Wow,
okay. All the voices.
Well, I mean, it is Frank Welker after all.
He's a national treasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, seriously, I will have to send this to you off air because I have to watch this. The Teen Wolf. Yeah. The Cartoon Adventures of Teen Wolf is what the actual name of it is, but I've already got the link. I'll send it to you after this. But oh my god, I honestly thought I was making shit up for a second, but I swear I remember watching this as a 6 and 7 year old on television back in the 80s. Oh my god, that's hilarious!
Saturday morning television.
That's right.
All right, let's get out of this rabbit hole. What are we talking about again? something about Phineas and Ferb.
Candace and her vampirism.
This was funny. Phineas and Ferb are under the tree, and he says, "I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days." Because it's several.
And that's going to be the opening quote to the rest of these episodes in this podcast.
It should be. Because I'm like, you know what? Our production schedule is completely justified at this point. Because
you think, yeah.
My next favorite thing was Lawrence, and he says, "This doesn't seem like a horror movie. Where are all the musical numbers?" Richard O'Brien is still my favorite celebrity cameo out of all the other ones so far. He is still my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's what else astounding. The Gimmel Schnumpfinator, which I can barely pronounce, but you would think that he would have second thoughts about that because he has nothing but horrible childhood stories from Gimmel Stumpf.
Yeah, you'd think he would try to do something different, more elaborate. Well,
I mean, it's not sufficiently evil, but I mean, I get the idea. Yeah. I see what he's going for, but you know, in the end, he loses his toilet, so it's like maybe I could have thought this a little better. Put a little more thought, a little more effort into the planning stages.
Well, you know, he does actually get his toilet back.
Yeah.
I mean,
thank you, Perry, the toilet returning platypus.
That's right. And here's the thing, though. I think that's the first time, and I could be completely wrong, and this is not a Teen Wolf thing here, Teen Wolf animated series thing here for me, but I'm probably completely wrong, but I think that's the first time, other than seeing him go roller skating into a toilet, I think that's the first time we've actually seen the inside of his bathroom. Like, she gotta stop paying him all that alimony because, damn, man, the dude has a bathroom fit for a king.
Why? This is a regular old bathroom. What are you talking about?
Are you kidding? All right, I will take a screenshot of the bathroom and I will post it on social media. And you have
a tiny ass bathroom or something. I don't know.
No. You look at some of the fixtures and the way the shower thing is. Oh my god, it's like a bathroom out of House Hunters. I'm not kidding. I'm a dog walker,
and she is an underwater basket weaver. Our budget is $3.5
million.
Uh-huh. Send me the shot. Maybe I overlooked something. I don't know, man. I just thought it looked like a regular old bathroom.
It for Doofenshmirtz?
If your bathroom is big enough to have a couch in it, all right, maybe that's too big.
True.
But I don't know. I could be wrong. I dig the red and the black view when Candace puts on the goth glasses.
Yep, the vampire, yeah, that's so cool.
Vampire goth glasses. Don't look upon me. I am a hideous creature of the night. But, I mean, once she puts them on, all the color goes away and everything is black and gray and red.
Red, yeah.
I dug it. I'm like, you know what? I think we should get like a filter where we can watch the whole episode like this. Like, from here on out, because that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but, no, that would get old fast.
Oh, no, it's because I'm goth. That's why.
You keep telling yourself that.
You gotta dye your hair black.
Most old goth people don't collect Transformers. So, you know, you keep telling yourself you're goth.
That was the problem, is Transformers made me too happy. So I couldn't. New toys makes me smile. So you can't have happy goth. So I had to give that up. This is the second episode in a row with angry mobs.
Isn't this the one where... Yeah, this is the one.
Huh.
You brought a pitchfork on our date. You brought a torch. It's like a younger version. I don't know if this is absolutely true. Huh. It probably is, considering they're both taller than Mr. What do you call him? Droopy. Yeah. It's like the younger version of Droopy and his wife. It's like their first date. Except obviously the guy on the date is too tall to be Droopy, unless, you know, he got old and shrunk.
People,
I know I'm older. Really reaching here, folks, but like, I thought that was so hilarious. You brought a pitchfork on our date. You brought a torch.
Who doesn't? Cool. I mean,
yeah.
You never know when you're going to have to set your date on fire. Happens. I've had a lot of bad dates, though, so, you know.
Not in the last X number of years, you haven't.
Oh, no. My wife, she's the first sane girl I ever dated. That's why I married her.
Would you like me to rip that audio out of this podcast so I can send it to you?
No, she knows. Oh, yeah, she's well aware. I've mentioned this to her family on several occasions. It's like, yeah, a lot of crazy out there. Run away from the crazy, kids. That's what I tell my kids. Run away from the crazy. Yeah, so Ferb's line, almost the last line of the episode here, was, sounds like a vampire to me.
And Jace is like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Come here, Ferb. Come here. It's okay.
but then the twist. It says, she's actually a vampire. That made me giggle. So, yeah. I liked it. It wasn't as much of a Halloween episode as the first half. But
it was still, I mean, the Curse of Candace, it's very October-ish considering, and especially with, you know, the movie references and whatever else. And hey, this one actually aired all in the same year. Disney Channel US premiere October 7th, 2011. XD premiere October 24th. International debut October 14th. Nice. So, yay.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It has a comic book angle as well.
Yep.
Anna Paquin was Rogue in the X-Men, and yep. Stephen Moyer was in the Marvel TV show called The Gifted.
Wait a minute.
What?
Who was he? He
played Strucker.
That's right. Holy shit. I need to listen to that voice again.
In The Gifted. No.
I love The Gifted.
Really?
They should have never canceled that.
I was not as big a fan, honestly.
No, I was.
I don't think it got the budget it deserved.
There's a lot of TV shows that have been on television that didn't get the budget that they deserve. Oh, yeah. He was Reed Strucker. That's right.
There you go. Yeah, Daddy Strucker.
Holy crap. I love that. I love that show. That show
See, every time I see this guy, I think of, True Blood. And I'm like, Suke. that deep southern accent. Suke, I would never let anything happen to you. It's just, and it makes you wonder if, like, you know, on the set, you know, if they're recording together and they're not telling them, do the True Blood thing, you know, do the True Blood voice, because that would be hilarious.
Now, and I know I had seen him in other things, like when I watched The Gifted, I'm like, wait a minute, where have I seen him before? And I'm just like, when I was doing that, I was looking through his Wikipedia or his IMDb, and I'm like, where? Because I have never watched a single episode of True Blood. I don't do HBO shows. I binged it
back in the day, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something else in his filmography that I remember seeing, because I remember the guy once I saw him on The Gifted, and I'm like, where else did I see him? And it's not coming to me.
Wow.
Oh well.
I'm looking at it as IMDb page now, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff too.
So what are you going to give The Curse of Candace?
I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 5 for referring to teen vampire movies, because they all suck. Waka waka waka. I'll be here all week.
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to give it a 3.5 because I really enjoyed the lens flare, and the fact that the store that she went into is called the Whatever Store, because it's goth. What? It's a goth store, so it's called Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny. So, yeah, 3.5 and a 3. I mean, honestly, our ratings and the fact that we enjoyed pretty much all of these cartoons this week or this today, I mean, pretty good ratings. It's not like we're, you know.
I might actually have to give it an extra 0.5 star just because Michael J. Fox was in it, even if he phoned it in.
So we're both giving it a 3.5 then?
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see where you're coming from now. I smell what you're cooking.
There you go. All right. We are going to take a quick break, come back to close the show after this.
Hello?
Francis! Hi, it's me, Heinz. Have you seen Perry the Platypus?
Dr. Doofenshmirtz, that information is highly classified and strictly confidential.
You have no idea where he is.
Not a clue.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, hey, hang on. Say, what kind of an evil scheme you got going on there today?
Well, it isn't so much an evil scheme as much as a childish prank, but I've invented a mustachinator! It gives people big, bushy, ridiculous-looking mustaches. Because, as we all know, there's nothing sillier than a big, bushy... but hey, you know, it looks good on you.
Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
DC and the superhero webcomics. DCN's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at DCN.com. DASIEN.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes flying is going to be so flighty.
Rob Paulson.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com.
and be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies, film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons, Jordan Optimus Solo, and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film, and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at GeekCastRadio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
I am hurrying, I'm hurrying!
I don't know how you did it. I don't even think I understood the event, but good show!
And we're back with everyone's favorite, the swimwear competition. Here comes Lawrence Fletcher.
Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts from this podcast and all the other podcasts we do. Leave the show's feedback at iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFU and Mike. What is your Twitter?
PKNCT Michael.
You can also follow at GeekCast Radio for all the other network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next two episodes of Phineas and Ferb, which include Escape from Phineas Tower, The Remains of the Platypus, Ferb Latin, and lots of latkes.
Ferb Fay and Filet.
There you go. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
You'll lend out your eye out, kid.
Wow, that's reaching.
But wait, there's more.
All right, we are back. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are so many ways to get in contact with you. With you. Wow. With us.
With who?
That's, what? I'm reading right off the fucking screen. You'd think I'd be able to get... Wow.
All right. Edit this out later. There you go.
No shit. I can't stop. I'm going to knock you out.
Mama said knock you out.
That's right.
I was going to say, you're not going to stop it from recording. It'll never record again.
No, no. Are you kidding me? I am not stopping the Skype recording until.
Did you want to go back and record the intro, or are we just not going to do an intro today?
I did do an intro.
Did you? Because normally you have like a. Oh, I guess you did, didn't you?
I did do the intro because I mentioned it's 2021 and 2022 when I was making all those 2020 jokes. That was the intro. All
right.
I even said hello and welcome to episode 70 of Palka.
You did say that. But, maybe I slept through that. I don't know.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm about to sleep through the next 4 days. Like literally, I'm probably going to just turn my computer off or something.
Not before you save it. Make sure you hit save.
Well,
this is important.
Yes, I'm not getting off the call until I save the damn thing. Trust me. I know. I got it. At least I can win in 2021, even though I lost in 2020. Anyway.
Oh, my awful cat's out there screaming, so I'll drop this up.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not.
Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Dude, that's it.
Oh, okay. See you next year.